You tell us, south of the border, as we sit here right now, what is the perception of this incarnation of the Raptors?
Well, I think it's a little bit of surprise, right? I don't think any of us probably predicted where this team would be, especially after losing Kawhi and then, you know, having, you know, the Kyle injury and the Serge Ibaka injury. And we really didn't know what the bench was able to do. I think we all thought they would probably be a tier B playoff team, which, and I say that probably in that four to seven range. I don't think any of us thought that they would be a team that we're talking about as probably one of the best teams along with Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference. I think we all probably thought they would probably be sellers too when it comes to the deadline based on all these expiring contracts. I think they'll probably be more like buyers. They should be buyers. I think it's a little bit of a surprise, but hey, I had Nick Nurse as my coach of the year when we got going before the season even started. So I thought they had a chance to be pretty good, but I don't think any of us could have predicted how this team is right now.
Okay, Bobby, I was a little upset, but the Nick Nurse comment, I'm going to do some research to make sure you're not saying it.
I am. I also have Denver going to the finals, so I think I'm the only one there too.
It's a little bit of a saving grace. He's the reigning Eastern Conference coach of the week, as a matter of fact. But how much of this surprise that you talk about, because I will give you that, I think that people thought the Raptors were going to be good. I don't know if they thought they were going to be this good, especially given the injury hurdles that they've dealt with early in the season. But how much of this surprise with their performance comes from seeing Pascal Siakam take yet another step in his development, something we knew he was trying to do, but hey, just because someone is like, I'm going to add a three, it doesn't mean they're able to implement it pretty much immediately and as effectively.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. I mean, we saw him last year take, you know, huge strides to be, you know, all-star, certainly all-star worthy. Now he's all NBA and /MVP worthy. I think we should, you know, certainly be talking about him when we're talking about LeBron James and Giannis and James Harden and Luka Doncic. We'll probably put Pascal right up in there in the four, you know, those four players. And to be able to be picked in the late 20s and to see his development, I think it's a credit to not only him, but, you know, this coaching staff there. I think the Raptors have probably the best player development coaching staff in the NBA, basically how they work on the back end of the roster, not the main guys, but the back end to have them prepared here. But yeah, I mean, it's ironic, you know, Pascal might have a chance of winning MVP, but might not even earn all NBA first team because of Giannis and LeBron here.
Yeah.
So, it's a credit to Masai be able to identify these players. Yes, this team's been good since, you know, when I was in Brooklyn, we played this team in the first round that year, and this team's been good since 2013. So it's not like it's a one hit wonder. And to be able to go out and find Fred VanVleet, who's been undrafted, and Terrence Davis, who's undrafted, and OG in the late teens here, and keep on restocking, I think that's the difference between Toronto and Cleveland when LeBron left, because Cleveland didn't have that infrastructure there where Toronto does.
With Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider, this is Leadoff on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So peel the curtain back for us a little bit here, Bobby, because in your response to Ashley's question, you detailed how you might have perceived a handful of things about the Raptors at the start of the season, and here we are about a quarter of the way through the season, and your opinion on things has changed, or on some things have changed. What are the types of conversations front offices have as chunks of seasons evolve? Like, would you have had plan A for this Raptors team if you were working for it based on your own assessment, and would that have shifted so completely some 20 games or so in?
Well, I think the Kyle extension, you know, in preseason maybe shifted it a little bit because that takes an expiring contract off the market, although he still can be traded because he doesn't have a trade restriction. I think for how front offices look at it is that you take it in a 20 to 25 game sample. Hopefully your roster is healthy so it can give you a complete evaluation as far as what you have, and that those 20-25 games leads you into December 15th, you know, when players that were signed this summer can be traded, and instead of having 50% of available pool, now we've got 90% of players can be traded, and it just opens up the market a little bit more. And I think if you were Toronto and, you know, you got off to a 10-15 start, and, you know, you were probably a team like Orlando or Detroit that's just trying to compete for a playoff spot, then I think you have to look at what Serge and Mark, you know, two big expiring contracts there. But that's not the case. I think it's more about, like, how do we add? I think Masai has shown how do we add here to this roster here. So and we don't have Kyle and Serge back. So I think, as I said, I think they're going to be buyers when we get to the deadline, even if that comes in a buyout, you know, a guy who was bought out of his contract here. But, yeah, I think we front office look at it in samples. You know, hopefully by now you have an evaluation as far as where this team is going to be. And I think this team has lasting power to stay up there in the top, you know, 2-3 in the league.
Okay, so if they're buyers at the deadline and they're looking at how they're going to be able to be successful against a Milwaukee Bucks or a Boston Celtics looking for a deep run in the postseason, and just say for hypothetical sake that they're not getting a buyout candidate, that they have to make a trade. Who at this point, in terms of their younger roster, is A, desirable, and B, who do you think this franchise deems as untouchable? Because I think that it's Siakam that's not going to be moved. I would say Fred VanVleet, but he needs a new contract as well, so there's a little bit of things up in the air, but again, he's going to be so important to them if they do make a long run.
Yeah, I would say in order to be a buyer, you got to be a seller, right? Yeah. So it's not like, you know, you're going to go to the store and buy something. You got to give something back, you know, either money or put your credit card down. So yeah, I think Pascal, well, certainly he's untouchable,
yes,
because of his extension and he's got this poison pill restriction there. So, but I think basically, if you are going, and Fred is different because he's on an expiring and, you know, it is going to get costly, but you have bird rights, you can retain him there. But mm-hmm. I think everybody else is kind of in play.
Right.
I really do. I think you have to look at all your options. So if there's a deal out there where maybe you can get a player like Danilo Gallinari, who's in Oklahoma City, and, you know, you have, you know, faith that, you know, between Mark and Pascal that your bigs can, you know, or suffice, then maybe we are looking at something like Serge Ibaka down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I think those are the type of deals that you are looking at, where you're not, you know, moving a huge piece and then you're really taking three or four steps back, because, you know, if you're looking at Milwaukee or Denver or some of these other teams, they probably aren't going to be making blockbuster deals here, because it's always based on that continuity factor here. But yeah, I don't think you could put an untouchable label on just because you're 15-4 or 16-4 on every player on the roster. Certainly, as I said, Pascal, probably Kyle to an extent,
yeah,
you know, and Fred. But I think everyone else is kind of – I think everyone else would be in play if something makes sense where you're going to get better.
How quickly, Bobby, are you pursuing an extension with Fred VanVleet?
Well, he can't do anything right now, you know, just because he signed that 2-year contract, so he's not extension eligible. But, yeah, I mean – he is going to be probably one of the top five free agents, probably top three or four free agents this summer. On the other end, there's four teams that have cap space. It's mm-hmm. Atlanta, Charlotte, Memphis, and Cleveland. All four teams have point guards or point guards they've drafted. So are they willing to go out and spend $20 million on Fred VanVleet? I don't think so, but I didn't think D'Angelo Russell was going to get $27 million from Golden State. So I think you have to be careful as far as what the market is and not kind of overplaying your hand here. So I think he is priority one. I know there is a huge emphasis for Toronto come 2021 when that next great group of free agents become available, certainly led by Giannis, to have cap space. But as I learned, there's always ways that you can go out and create cap space.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, locking up Fred, you know, to a, you know, contract that you're paying him $20 million makes sense, I think that's going to be your, you know, as I said, your priority come, you know, June 30th.
Raps taking on the Heat tonight. Just a quick question about what you make of Miami, the Jimmy Butler-led Miami. We know that there have been struggles that have kind of followed him from place to place, from Minnesota to Philadelphia to a certain extent, but it seems as though they have a groove here in Miami.
They do. And I'm down here in Southwest Florida, so I see this team a lot in mm-hmm. person, or, you know, certainly, you know, we all have DirecTV or we can let the league pass. But yeah, I think I wasn't as concerned with Jimmy going to Miami just because of knowing Eric Spoelstra, their head coach, and Pat Riley and Andy Ellsberg, their front office. We throw around the word culture a lot, but I mean, that team has, they basically take on projects or guys, reclamation projects, and to kind of put it in that system there. So I think, you know, Jimmy certainly fits. I think, you know, Kendrick Nunn's a, you know, undrafted player who's their point guard is you know, one of the players up for Rookie of the Year right now, has had a great year. Tyler Hero coming off the bench. They've got a really good foundation. Bam Adebayo, who's probably all-star worthy. So the pieces, you know, the pieces certainly fit in Miami. They, you know, they play hard every night. They just had a really good win in Brooklyn on Sunday here. So they will give you your best effort here. You know, they are a hard-nosed team, but you've got Goran Dragic coming off the bench, and you got, you know, the ability to kind of stretch the floor here. So I think it's a great early season kind of litmus test for, you know, certainly for both teams.
Great insight as always, Bobby. Thank you so much for waking up and doing this, and we'll call on you again soon.
You guys didn't want to ask about how we go about doing the power rankings? I was waiting for that question.
Bobby.
Honestly, well, I just feel like you're going to lie. Feel like you're going to be like, it's not personal. Or is it personal? Or are you doing it to be like, you know who gets mad? You know what's going to get us a lot of clicks? Not ranking Toronto.
I will give you this. I did have Toronto in the top five in my power rankings this week here. But the big picture is that we have I won't give you state secrets here or how we make the apple pie, but we have to take a big look picture of the whole season, not just kind of like, you know, if you run all five or six in a row. So we've got to look at the whole big picture. But I did have the Raptors in my top five when I submitted it on Sunday.
Embrace a recency bias, Bobby. Embrace the recency bias.
I think that comment right there, Bobby, as you leave us, that'll be enough. You'll be allowed across the border next time you want to come visit Canada. There you go.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby Marks.